Welcome to the Living Savior Church. And happy Valentine's Day, huh? Thank you for the candy and the strawberries and everything. We praise the Lord for all those good things. But the Lord said, if we will serve Him and love Him, He will satisfy our mouth with good things. And He does that, does He not? He's really an awesome God. I have a question to ask the church. How many of you are dead to sin? Okay, praise. I hope that's all of us. Okay, praise the Lord. Dead to sin and alive to Christ, right? Praise the Lord. How many of you believe the Word of God's true? How many of you got a copy of Margie Mayfield's tape yesterday and listened to it? Did it bless you? It's an awesome tape, awesome CD. If you have not listened to Margie Mayfield's teaching, to tell you how powerful it is, this will inspire you to get a copy. Years ago when I heard it, I was going to work one morning and I listened to Dr. James Dodson on the radio, and they had this show on, it was at his studio, and they had this story of Margie Mayfield and how she had won the world's number one rapist and murderess to Christ at gunpoint. Now let me tell you, most women, when a guy steps in the car, or you're getting ready to get in your car, and he walks up and sticks a gun in your ribs and says, woman, get in and scoot over and put your hands under your thighs and don't you say a word or I'm going to kill you. Most women just go crazy. Most people go crazy. Not just women, men. But she scooted in the car and reached up when he got in. She reached up and not only did she not put him under her thighs, she reached up and put her hand on his shoulder and said, mister, you're not in control here. I am in the name of Jesus. If we ever get a hold of who we are in Christ, before we get into the teaching that I want to go to today, I want us to look at one more verse, and I want you just to meditate on this verse, and let's put it up in the NLT if we can, and it's Luke 10, 19 and 20. Most people read this verse, but they don't believe this verse. I want us just to meditate on this just a moment. And I want you to look at what this says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Look, and Jesus is speaking here too, by the way. And we got to realize this book is an owner's manual written to us, right? Amen. That's what we have to realize. This is not just some book. This is the Word of God, the Word of our Creator. And He's telling us, this is like taking a Chevrolet manual and you've got, say, a 1999 Chevrolet passenger car, and in the glove box is a 1999 Chevrolet owner's manual. Probably you'll find some things that match the car, right? What if that owner's manual, somebody said, well, I'm going to sell this car, but I don't know what I've done with the manual, so I'll just get one out of this car. This is a 2010. I'm going to give them an owner's manual for a 1999 out of a 2010. What do you think the chances are of that working? It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work at all. And that's kind of the way we treat God's Word. But we need to realize this is God's Word, and it's current. It's always current. It's for the created beings, us. And look what Jesus says in the NLT. He says, look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Think about that a minute. I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, if He's given you and me authority over all the power of the enemy, how much power does He have over you? None. I'm not going to go into great detail, but this little French girl up here on the front row, last night after the healing school, she goes to downtown Dallas, to a bad place in downtown Dallas with a friend. And they're telling people about Jesus because they're pumped up with the Word of God because all they heard for hours yesterday was the Word of God. So see, when you're pumped up all day with the Word of God, like I said, you know, if you're listening to the worldly stuff all the time, and you know what did I use yesterday? That somebody done somebody wrong song? If that's all you're listening to, how much power do you have? None. But if you're hearing the Word of God, then you go downtown Dallas after being here all day in a healing school and start talking to people about Jesus, and people start threatening you. I don't want to hear this. I'm going to hit you. Is that what they did?
This is what she did, yeah. She was going to punch me pretty bad.
And she says, you can't touch me. I'm a daughter of the king. I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to get right in your face, and I'm going to hurt you. And she never bent. She realized she had all power and all authority. She said, you know, I'm a daughter of the king. You can't touch me. You see, that's what happens when you get pumped up all day with the word. Then this word of God, if you've heard nothing but the word all day, and then the scriptures like this says, behold, I give unto you power or authority. Look, Jesus said, I'm giving you authority over all the power of the enemy. This little girl believed that. Now, what's wrong with the rest of us? I mean, after all, she's 9 feet tall, weighs 300 pounds. Now, with the angel with her, she is 9 feet tall, and she does weigh 300 pounds. But to look at her, she doesn't look very dangerous, does she? Does she look dangerous?
No.
But she knew who her brother was. She knows who her God is. So goes to the bad places in Dallas and starts telling people about Jesus. When they threaten to beat her up and do everything else, she comes back with, and even when they're right in her face saying, we're going to hurt you, she said, no, you can't touch me. I'm a daughter of the king. I belong to Jesus Christ. Now then, that scripture, Bill, how much power did he give us? What's left out of all? But, you know, we don't act like that most of the time, do we? You need to realize that, just like Jeff told us yesterday. Jeff told us about when he was in New York, about how that guy was screaming with that knife and was going to hurt him. And Jeff said, I had total peace. There was nothing. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Now, if we really get that in our heart, that all power and all authority is given to us over our enemy, what should we as his sons and daughters be afraid of? Nothing. Nothing. Even when the enemy comes at you. Nothing. We just don't realize who we are. We don't realize we're sons and daughters of God. And you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. What do you do with a verse as powerful as this? You believe it. You believe it. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. In other words, most people in the church that I was raised up in especially, they didn't even believe that there was such thing as evil spirits. If there were, they were in Africa or somewhere, but they certainly wasn't here in America. They don't believe in demons. But the Bible teaches that there is demons, and Jesus has given us power. He says, but don't rejoice because those evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Now, let's read that in the King James one time. The King James said, Jesus said, behold, I give you power. Now, that word power there is better translated in the other translation, which is authority. But behold, I give unto you power or authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. These are spiritual beings he's talking about. Even when it comes down to the physical things, when you see a scorpion or a snake, how much power and authority do you have over it? You have all. I mean, you know, you ought to have seen me and Eric the other day. We were out here in front of Tim's house, and there was a snake about that long, 1 inch diameter or something, 1.5 inch diameter. He was running across there when Eric hollered at me and said, Thurman, there's a snake. So I come running in the house here, and I have a .22 pistol. So I came in and got the .22 pistol, went running back out there, and I said, where is he? He said, he's under that tree right there, around that bush. So I shot right down in there, and of course, he come running out, and he started over toward the house. Now, you know how a snake crawls, right? And I'm running along right beside him, and I'm right here. Bam! 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 And I can't hit him. I don't have enough practice. I used to be able to shoot a rabbit on the run and kill him every time, but I hadn't had much practice lately. So anyway, the snake almost gets to the house, and I thought, well, if he gets to the house there, he may get behind some of those boards. So I ran up there and grabbed him by the tail. How much authority do I have over the beast? You know, and so I grabbed him by the tail and jerked him back away from the house. And when I did, well, he comes whooshing around like this. And I thought, well, he's going to try to bite me. So I turned him loose. I thought, you're not going to bite me in the name of Jesus. And then Eric said, Thurman, there's a shovel right around the edge of the house there. I said, well, run get it. I'd already run out of bullets, you know. So a gun ain't no good. Now you beat him in the head with a pistol. I guess that's all I can do because I can't hit him with a bullet. So anyway, we go get the shovel, and I run him out behind that board that he run up on. And when I did, Eric throwed that shovel and hit him right behind the head and cut his head completely off. I said, well, praise the Lord, we got him. I said, he's gone. So Eric picked him up, took him out there over the fence and throwed him over the fence. And of course, he's still flopping around and everything, but he ain't got no head, so he's dead. But I thought to myself, you know how hard it is to walk in faith whenever that snake turns back around? You know, I mean, you think about that beast going to bite you. But you have been given all power and all authority over these beasts. It doesn't make any difference whether it's a spiritual enemy or a physical enemy. Technically speaking, you have been given power and authority over those. Now, I can remember one time years ago, when I was only about 20 years old, some guys come by my house where I was living at Gold Plate with my mother and dad. It was the spring. They wanted me to go rattlesnake hunting with them. Well, I had never been rattlesnake hunting. I'd seen lots of rattlesnakes. I'd killed a few. So anyway, I told them, okay, I'll go with you. So we went up on this mountain way back over there, 6 or 8 miles away from my mother and dad's house. And there's about 8 or 10 of us guys. And so I get up on the cliff. You know, I'm a young guy, so I don't mind getting anywhere. So I get up on there, and one of the older guys handed me a big wand type deal, a copper pipe. And he said, stick that back in that slot there, and we'll put some gasoline in there. And said that we'll see if there's any rattlesnakes in there. Okay, so I pushed that long, 6-foot-long deal back in there, and I said, no, there ain't no rattlesnakes in there. That's just, some leaves. It's wet leaves or something like that. It's kind of soft and mushy. He said, oh, no, that's rattlesnakes. That's not leaves. Well, I said, okay. So he pulled the trigger and started, I pulled the trigger, and he pumping, and we spraying gasoline back in there, and all of a sudden, here come these rattlesnakes. They start coming in. I'm on a cliff about 10 or 12 feet above the ground with a tree about that big around, about that far away from the cliff, and I'm leaning back, and that slot's about 4 or 5 feet from me, and these rattlesnakes are coming out, sticking their head right out, looking right at me. And I think, okay, I said, how much authority do I have over these beasts? All. I don't even really know that back in those days, but I'm young and stupid and have no sense. I am that. So I think, well, I'm good shot with a gun. I have had two pistols. And I said, I'm a good shot with a gun, so as they come out, I'll kill them. And so I did. And as they started coming out of there, I would shoot them and I'd kill them. And when they stopped coming out, I'd take this stick they give me with a hook on it, and I'd run it back in there, and I'd turn it and pull. And I'd get one, and I'd hold it tight, and then he'd move, and I'd pull him out, and pull him out, and pull him. And then when he'd come out, I'd sling him off to the side, and the guys down there would kill him when he hit the ground. Just to show you how, when you really realize how much power and authority you have, I climbed around the edge of that cliff, and I'm pulling because I saw a snake way up there coming. And as I pulled myself up there, there was a wall right here, and I pulled myself around. I had a gun, a .22 pistol like this, and as I pulled myself around the corner, I looked, and right there is a rattlesnake about that far from the end of my gun barrel. Wow. It didn't even make me get excited. I just turned the gun around, put it right in his mouth, and pulled the trigger. And I killed him. Now see, back in those days, it was more of stupidity than anything else. But now I know how much power and authority I have. So now I know, just like her, when she was attacked with the physical demons of the world. I mean, just last night, they were going to beat her up. They were threatening her. They were doing everything. And after listening to everything she listened to yesterday, she realized she was a daughter of the King and that nothing can touch her. Hallelujah. And she stands. Miss Jackie, isn't that wonderful?
Awesome.
Just think, this 10-foot-tall, 300-pound muscular thing we got over here, because she's got angels that's that big. At least. And so she can be a little bitty lady and not be afraid of nothing because she knows who her God is.
Amen.
And she trusts him completely. And I just thought, wow, we all need to be there. The promises are in his word. And after telling y'all about Margie Mayfield yesterday, I think about the promises that God give us as his children. Just think of the promises. What does Matthew 18:19 say? Put Matthew 18:19 on the board for everybody to see it. We need to hide scriptures like this in our heart. Matthew 18:19, and put that up there. And what does that say?
Again.
Again, I tell you, If how many?
Two.
Two of us and where?
On earth.
On earth. Okay, so if there's two of us on earth, I pray, agree about what?
Anything.
Anything we ask him, what did he say? What did he promise to do? Promise to do it. Okay. I'm right here. I'm going to throw in something. Ronnie Rhodes over here. He sold his house and he needs a house. And then when, I think he said 2 or 3 weeks, if he don't find a house, he's going to be on the street. He needs a house. What did God tell us? Now, I've already prayed with him once before and I prayed with him again a while ago, but we're going to all pray as a church for Ronnie for a house.
Amen.
If God said, if just two of us on earth agree about anything, Tony, if all of us agree, what might he do? You think he might do something? I do too. Don't you think so, Ronnie?
Yes, sir.
Yes, he thinks so too. So I want every one of you to stand up with me and hold your hands up, and we're going to go to the throne of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you on behalf of Matthew 18:19, that you said if just two of us, well, Lord, there's a whole church full of us here, and we're agreeing that Ronnie's going to find a house this week. He's going to find a house, the perfect house at the right price and everything, and you're going to bless him and his wife with the perfect house. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for blessing Ronnie Rose and his wife with the perfect house this week in Jesus' name. And Lord, you said in Matthew 18:19, if just two of us agreed about anything, it's done. So Lord, all of us are in agreement, so Ronnie has a house. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody in agreement with that? Okay. Did God make this owner's manual for all of us?
Yes.
Yes, and that's what we need to realize. It's us and it's for us, and he gave it to us so that we can do things, so we can walk in power and authority, and we can get our prayers answered. I remember one time when the guy that was the general manager of the ice plant that we were buying ice from in Dallas, and he came out there, and I got talking to him about Christ, about the Lord, and he said, wow, I don't go many places that people talk about Jesus like you do. I said, well, we all ought to be talking about Jesus because he's the only thing that matters. I said, by the way, is there any kind of prayer that you need? He said, man, I'll tell you now, as you've said that, he said, I have moved here and I've got a house where I'm living and I need to sell it and I need to find another one here as quick as possible. And I don't really need to make two high dollar house payments. So I really need to sell that house where I'm at quickly so I can get another one here. I said, okay. I said, well, the God I serve, it's real simple for him. And so I said, just come to the Lord. And I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for selling his house and doing it quickly. Then I thank you for giving him another one in Jesus' name. And it's done. And the next week, that guy called me, come back. I said, Thurman, I'm going to come back out and visit with you a minute. I said, okay, come on. I had no idea what he wanted. He got there and he walked in my office and said, you know, the next day after you prayed that prayer, I sold my house. And the next day I found another one in Dallas. He said, now tell me more about this God you serve. Now see, who is this God I serve?
Jesus.
His name is?
Jesus.
Jesus. And he has an owner's manual for his children. Does he not?
Yes.
And he made us all these wonderful promises, but we have to do things in faith. Like yesterday, some of you weren't here yesterday, and I told a story about Mark 11:23. And again, I want you to see this. Just go to Mark 11:23. I want you to see this wonderful scripture. If you meditate on the Word of God and the promises of God, you'll not only be able to stand in the face of the enemy like she did last night, but you'll be able to do great and mighty things. Nothing is impossible to them that believe. We just don't believe that. But what does that scripture say? For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, are you a whosoever?
Yes.
Shall say unto this mountain, now I've never met anybody yet other than Jesus that believed this. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now then, it depends on how big the mountain is. If you got a little bitty mountain over here, you might have the faith to get that mountain moved. But if you don't have that kind of faith, then you probably can't get that mountain moved. But if you have the faith, it makes no difference how big the mountain is. So I had been meditating. I had went to Memphis. We had a truck that got stole. And I went to Memphis to look at the truck. And of course, when I got there, there were several things wrong with the truck. It had been missing a couple of years. And it was in a warehouse. It was a truck, we were a brand new one that was being delivered to one of our shops. And somebody stole it And so we lost the truck for about 2 years. Well, when they stole it, they took some pieces of equipment off of it. And one of the and of course, I went up there with my car and my toolbox and everything, so I could probably get it running if it wasn't too big of a problem. But when I got there, I found out the ignition key was missing. And the ignition key, where it goes in and goes down under the steering wheel, steering column, you have to have special tools and pullers and everything else to get all that out so you can put a new ignition switch in it. And it's a pretty good little chore, especially if you don't have those tools. In fact, it's impossible without those tools. So I went to the Ford house, since this truck was a nearly new truck, a couple of years old. I took the VIN number off of it, and I went to the Ford house and told them I need a key cut, because I knew at that time there was codes that if you had the VIN number, they knew what the code was, and they could cut you a key for that cylinder. So I went to the Ford house, and I said, I want a key cut for this code, for this truck, this year model. And when he pulled it up, he said, I'm sorry, sir, that truck's just 1 year too old. We just started that, and so we don't have those codes, so I can't cut it. I said, well, do you have an ignition switch for it? He said, went back and looked, come back, said, I have one. Now, you have any idea how many ignition switches there are for Ford trucks? Every one of them's got a different key. You know what I mean? You could have a stack of them in here, 500 of them, and none of them would turn the other one. So it's a quite extensive deal. So I told him, I said, okay, let me have that one. And I said, I'm going to turn that key on, and that key's going to run that truck up there. He said, sir, that's probably not one chance in 5 million that's going to work. I said, no, it's not a one in 5 million. It's a 1-to-1. It's going to work. He said, sir, that's impossible. I said, well, the way you're talking, yes, it's impossible. But if you believe like I do, I said, I'm a man of God, and I have an owner's manual that says whatever I say with my mouth, if I believe it with my heart, I can have it. Is that what that said?
Yes.
Are y'all all with me?
Yes.
Am I adding anything to what the Word of God says?
No.
So therefore, whatsoever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you can have it. Is that what it said?
Yes.
So I take the key, and the guy tells me, okay, I'll sell you the cylinder and the keys, no problem. But he said, it ain't going to work in that truck. I said, oh, yeah, it's going to work in that truck. Now then, he don't have any faith, does he?
Nope.
Do I have faith?
Yes.
So I go over there to for that shop, for that building, where that truck was at. I'd left the right door open. And when I remember taking that key out of that cylinder and taking the key out, putting it in my hand, and I started walking toward that truck, that open door on the right side, and as I stepped up on the running board and stuck the key over the shifting column, and I stuck it in that ignition switch, I said, turn in the name of Jesus. Then I went in and turned it, and that key turned on, and that truck started perfect. How can I be so dumb to believe something like that would work? Where did I get that information? From the owner's manual. And the owner's manual is written to you and me, and it means exactly what it says. The problem is we don't believe it. Is that right, Scott?
Absolutely.
I asked this lovely couple here the other day. I said, you know, y'all been married a long time. I said, y'all were both Catholics for years. And she said, and I said, did you even teach the Bible? She said, oh, yeah. I said, have you ever taught Matthew? Yes. I said, you ever teach Matthew 18, 19? She said, yes. I said, did you ever see it work? Never. Somebody had to tell me it worked. She said, when you told me it worked, she said, then we started acting on it in faith. And God started answering our prayers.
Amen.
Now then, this couple, they get prayers answered all the time, all over the place, everywhere they go. They're just always kind of like she is. They're on fire for Jesus.
Amen.
They realize they got an owner's manual that was written to them and to her.
Amen.
And it works when you work it in faith, right?
Amen.
So what did Jesus say in Mark 11, 23? What can we have? If you speak to the mountain, now then, that mountain could be a little bitty mountain, or it could be a great big mountain. The more time you spend with God, the bigger that mountain will get.
Yeah.
The more things you can get to where you can do. Right, Miss Jackie?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. In other words, when you really get to the point of meditating on Mark 11, 23, if all we do is meditate on that verse, it's going to change you, right?
Yes.
Miss Jackie, I love you, and I wrote that book for you.
Thank you, Jesus.
You see what I mean? So when you start hiding that in your heart and you're reading, you know, you're hearing the master say, honey, I love you.
Yes.
That's my owner's manual to you. Now you do that and it'll work for you.
Yes, sir.
And one day, if you spend enough time with the Master, you'll start stepping out in faith, right?
Yes, sir.
And when you do, guess what he's going to do for you?
Anything.
That's right. He's going to answer your prayer. And that's how we get people healed in this place. Now, Lord, I want to thank you one more time that Ronnie will have a house this week.
Yes.
I want to thank you. Lord, you made us the promise. Did he make us the promise?
Yes.
Yeah, so Ronnie's going to have a house this week. Now, should we pray about everything with thanksgiving?
Yes.
In this church, that's what we do, right?
Yes.
We pray for people here with faith, in faith, with thanksgiving. And that's how we get so many people healed in this place. And we see multitudes of people get healed here because we stand on his word. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt. Now, you can say this a lot of times and still doubt. You have to continue to be in the word over and over and over. And if when you finally get it in your heart, then one day you'll be able to do it with no doubt in your heart. But shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Like I told y'all yesterday, all the way to Memphis, I meditated on scriptures like Mark 11, 23, 24, and other promises of God. In a car from here, 10 hours of driving, I guess it was, 8 or 10 hours. It's been a long time since I did that. A long ways to Memphis, Tennessee. But when you meditate on the Word of God all that way, and all you've had pumped in you, and you turned off all that somebody done me wrong songs. And I used to listen to that junk. In fact, I thank God for Dr. Ben Smith. Back when I was a Sunday school teacher at Lakeland Baptist Church, every morning when I'd go to work, I had a button that I push and it was country and Western music. I filled my heart with country and Western music. And guess how many answers to prayer I saw?
None.
You're right. Not a single one. One day, Dr. Ben Smith was preaching. He said, you know, I'm sure some of y'all listen to country and Western music on the way to work. He said, why don't you listen to some of the Christian stations? Kind of give God a little bit of equal time. I thought, well, okay. I've come to church on Sunday. I mean, after all, what does God expect of me? You know, I mean, I give him one day a week. That ought to be enough. Anybody ought to know that's enough. But I thought, okay, I'll turn on one of these Christian stations because Brother Ben told, give us one or two, Criswell and whatever. He said, listen to these. So I started listening, and then one morning I turned over there and I got J. Vernon McGee, old Presbyterian pastor. He was exactly what I needed back in those days. He was all I could stand. You know, I couldn't stood a guy like me. I mean, if you'd have been a pastor like me on earth teaching the Word of God like I teach, I said, this guy's lost his mind. You understand, Mike?
Yes, sir.
It's amazing what happens when we learn how to pray and who we are. But it took a long time for me to listen to J. Vernon. And as I listened to him over and over and over, and he built my faith over and over and over, finally, I got into a little bit stronger stuff and started listening to some stronger stuff and started listening to teachers that were teaching powerful things in God's Word, like Mark 11, 23. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really what that says. Now then, when all of a sudden you realize one day that you're a son of God, he died on the cross and he loves you, he paid the total price for you, and then because of the total price he gave you, he said, I'm giving you all power and all authority over the enemy. Just walk with me and walk with me and don't get off into sin. Just, you know, don't give no place to the enemy. And if you'll just submit yourself to me and resist the enemy, he'll flee from you. And I thought, you know, this is too good to be true. But I found that it was true. That if I would submit myself to God, I could resist the enemy and he would flee from me. And boy, I started learning how to pray for people. I started learning what I could do. And that's what at Lakeland Baptist Church, as a deacon and a Sunday school teacher, I started doing something that nobody else did. As a deacon, we were supposed to go visit people. So whenever I would be at the Wednesday night prayer service, I'd take a copy of the prayer service and I'd see who were sick and who had children sick. And then I would go to their house and I'd say, I understand your son's sick or your wife's sick or whatever. And I would sit down with them and say, let me show you what I've learned about the promises of God. And I would start going over these promises with people. And they would look at that and they'd say, my gosh, that's what that says. Why do we not know this? I said, I don't know. I didn't know it either. But at Mark 11, 23, what does it say? Can you have whatever you say with your mouth if you believe it with your heart?
Yes.
Just like this young man It was over in Argyle. And I heard he was sick. And he was 50 years old. So I thought, well, I don't know him. But he comes to Lakeland, so I'll run over there. He wasn't one of my deacon families, but I thought, I'll go talk to him. I went over and sat down with this man, and I says, what's wrong with you? He said, I've been having heart problems. I said, well, there is healing for that. He said, well, let me tell you something, Thurman. He says, my dad died at 50 with a heart attack. My granddaddy died at 50 with a heart attack. And everybody told me that everybody as far back as I know in men, all have died at 50 with a heart attack. So he said, I guess that's just what it's going to be. I'm having heart troubles. I said, you're killing yourself and you don't understand it. I said, you're speaking death to your heart by saying, I guess I'm going to die with a heart attack. What did Jesus say you can have? Whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart. When you believe it with your heart, you say it long enough, oh, I guess I'll die with a heart attack. I guess I'm having a heart attack. Guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to have a heart attack. Because you're sitting there telling the devil, come on, baby. You know, just kill me. That's what you're doing. And so I began to go over all these scriptures with him. And I began to open his heart to the Word of God. I told him, I said, you know, all you got to do is repent. We'll break that curse over you and we'll kick that devil out. How much power and authority did we have over that devil? So, hey, the way I look at things, if I got all the power, that means he ain't got nothing. So if I tell him to go, he's got to go. So I told that young man that night, he was 50 years old. I told him, I said, I'm going to kick that devil out of you and he's going to go. And I guarantee you're going to live to be an old, healthy man. He said, man, where do you get all this stuff? I said, right here. It's in the book, isn't it? So I prayed for him. I kicked the devil out of him. I told him, I said, now then, I don't never want to hear you say, I'm going to die with a heart attack. I'm going to have a long, healthy life. Well, he liked that one. So every time I'd see him at Lakeland after that, I'd say, how you doing? He said, praise God, I'm healed. He said, I ain't had not one single heart pain or no trouble or nothing. He said, I'm going to live to be an old, healthy man. I stayed at Lakeland another 10 or 15 years, and he was still in perfect health when I left there. I hadn't seen him since, but he could have killed himself at 50 with a heart attack. The enemy almost got through with him until he read the owner's manual and believed the promises of God. Now let's go to Proverbs 3. I want to start with verse 1 of Proverbs 3. And I don't care what translation, King James, NLT, either one. But anyway, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. What am I doing to you today? I'm teaching you the principles of the kingdom. Is that what I'm doing? Is that what God's doing through His Word, through me? Yes, that's what He's doing. He teaches us through His Word, and then He pulls out somebody like me or you or whatever and say, now then, I want you to be a teacher. My child, never forget the things I have taught you. The one thing I just taught you, you can have what you say with your mouth if you believe with your heart. Is that true? Yes. Don't ever forget that. Pay attention to what you say. You'll kill yourself. Life and death. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death in the power of your tongue. And every person shall eat the fruit of their tongue. So if you go around saying, oh my goodness, I guess I'm going to die. I guess I'm going to hurt myself. You're going to do it. Never forget the things I have taught you. Store my commandments in your heart. Meditate on the Word of God day and night. And that's what's wrong with us as men, especially men. We don't want to go to church. That's for women and children. I don't need to go to church. I know everything there is to know about God anyway. Yeah, sure you do. I'm going to tell you, you have no idea how many men I've run into in my life that have told me that very statement. And they don't have a clue what's in this book. Not a clue. But if it ain't in this book, you don't want to believe it. But if it's in this book, you want to believe it. Store my commandments in your heart. So how are you going to store all these commandments? Like Mark 11:23, James 5:14, 15, 16. How are you going to store them and keep them in your heart? You're going to have to study His Word. I guarantee you're going to have to read and study His Word every day. Just like this precious little daughter of the king's here that we're talking about, this little French girl. The reason she was so on fire yesterday because all she did all day yesterday was have the Word of God pumped into her heart. I mean, Jeff was at it. Dave was at it. I was at it. She had the Word of God for hours and hours and hours. And she walked out of here last night on fire for Jesus. Now, is that the way all of us should come and go? Yeah. She was listening to his word. She was being taught his word. And the difference is she was believing what she heard. She believed it. And so she went down there and stood her ground. And the enemy did not touch her. You know what kind of faith it takes to stand your ground with somebody standing there with a club saying, I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to hit you with this. And she said, you can't touch me. You can't touch me. Wow. If you do this, if you do what? If you do what he says, if you remember everything he's taught you, store those commandments in your heart. If you do this, you will not die. You will live. Is that what he said? You have to believe. If you will do this, you will live. And not just live. You'll live what? Many years. And your life will be satisfying. Do you know if there's anything every man wants, it's a long, healthy, satisfying life. And according to the Word of God, what do we got to do to live there? Study His Word, hide His commandments in our heart, and obey them. Is that what He said? Isn't that so simple? But you know, people can say, you know, why read the Proverbs? You know, I've read them, you know, 100 times. So I don't need those. I'm okay. And then they come out here when they get sick and they say, you know, I got a problem. Well, have you been in the Word? Well, no, I haven't had time to study. I've been too busy working. Well, that's terrible. If you do this, if you do what I say, you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Do you want a life of many years with a satisfying life? I do. So what does that mean you and me have got to do on a regular basis? Study God's Word. That's exactly right. You have got to hide this Word in your heart. Let's go back to the years when I first started working for Chevrolet in 1955. In 1955, when I went to work for Chevrolet, there were 3 fan belts that fit every Chevrolet made. 3. So when a pickup or a car come in, if you had a broken fan belt, it wasn't no big deal to go in there and find the fan belt. You know, you just knew which one it was. So when I left there 6 years later, I worked for Chevrolet for 6 years. I don't even know how many fan belts there was for Chevrolets, but there was a bunch. And today for Chevrolets, Mike is a professional mechanic. Mike probably couldn't even begin to tell me how many total number of fan belts there are just for Chevrolets. Right, Mike? There's a bunch. Now then, if he doesn't read books, the cars are changing so rapidly as a professional mechanic, this guy has to study on a regular basis to stay up with the new cars because they change sometimes not only once a year, but 2 or 3 times a year. Different cars with different VIN numbers have different things that work. Do y'all know that? And he has to keep up with all that. So let me tell you, at least we got one good thing. The Word of God don't never change. God put this book here and he never changed it. He's made it the same. All we got to do is study the same book that they had, that my dad studied. I studied that same book and it says the same thing today it did when my dad was studying it. So that's good. That's very fortunate for you and me because it doesn't change. But if you'll hide this word in your heart, meditate on it and do what it says, then you will live many years and your life will be satisfying. Let's go to the next 2 verses. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Now, what did that say? Loyalty and kindness. Somebody said, well, I can't be kind to her. She's too mean. No, that's not what it said. You need to be kind and loyal to everybody, right? See, when we read this book, this is an owner's manual that makes things work. This is a book written from God to you and me to tell us how things work. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. In other words, study them. If you'll do all this, he says, then you will find favor with God. Now, do you want favor with God? Ooh, I want favor with God, I guarantee. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. You know what people should say about you and me? Man or that woman, they're a Christian. They really always obey God's word. They never tell a lie. They're good. They always bless people. Do you know anybody that calls themselves a Christian that's a habitual liar? Now, wait a minute. if that's true, if we believe the owner's manual says all liars. Does anybody know what the rest of that verse says? All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Is that what it says? Now, if you are a Christian and you've ever read this book and you're a liar and you read that and it says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire forever. If you're really a Christian and you believe this is an owner's manual, what should that cause you to do but with lying? I mean, you should never do it again. You say, Lord, I'm sorry. I get down on my face, Lord, I'm sorry I told a lie. But I confess that is sin. And Lord, I want you to ask you to help me. Yeah, I need to have a glass of water, drink of water or something. But if you're a liar and you're a Christian and you realize what the book says, you should get on your face before God and repent, and you should make sure that you call on him to help you, that you would never speak another lie as long as you live. Because if that book means what it says, if you are a habitual liar, where are you going to spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity in a lake of fire. I mean, the Bible says that. Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Thank you, honey. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. I've heard this too many times in my life. Why should I go to church? The only thing down there is a bunch of hypocrites. Have you ever heard that? Too many hypocrites in that church. I ain't going down there. Or, you know, I went down to that church, but, you know, the guy that runs the car dealership, you know, he said he worked on my car and he didn't do a good job and whatever, and they charged me an arm and a leg, and so they're all just a bunch of liars. And the guy calls himself a Christian. No. If you're a Christian, you should be different than everybody else in the world. Do you agree with that? You should be a man or woman of integrity, a man or a woman of character. Somebody should look at you and say, well, one thing I'll say about that boy or that girl, you can trust everything they say. I've never heard that man tell a lie. Never. Even if it costs him money, he'll do what he says, but he'll not lie. Is that the way we should be? See, I mean, God tells us how we should be. And we read this book, or I think the problem is we don't read this book. I think very few people read God's word and they read it and believe it. Let's go to the next couple of verses, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which oath to take. So who should we go to anytime we need have a problem? You know how we are? We're like that story that Jeff told you yesterday that he and I talked about. I forget now exactly where I heard that, but this people had all kinds of problems. And so they got to talking about it and said, you know, maybe, just maybe, as bad of the situation as it seems, maybe we ought to pray. And the other guy said, you mean it's come to that? It's come to time to pray? When was the time to pray? At the beginning. Is that right, Kim?
Yes, sir.
The time to pray was when you started, before you started.
Yes.
When you got up this morning, that was the time to pray. When you opened your eyes, that's the time to seek God and to pray. Not wait till you get into problems and troubles and all. Ask the Lord. Verses 7 and 8. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. If you hadn't asked God for wisdom, you don't have any wisdom. Wisdom comes from God and God alone, and he only gives it to us because we ask. But once we ask, we got it. So don't think that wisdom is coming from you. It's not. So don't have to be worried about being impressed with your own wisdom, because you don't have any wisdom. The wisdom you have has come from God, and he's given it to you because you've asked him. So always remind people when they say, man, you're really smart, or you really knew how to do this or something, say, well, I'm a child of God, and I prayed about this, and God gave me the wisdom to know how to do this. And you give him the glory and the praise for everything. And you know how hard that is for the average man? The average man, he wants to be Mr. Somebody. And the more I can do and the more I can impress people, the better it is. I only want to impress people with my God and what he's able to do. Not me, because I know what I can do. Nothing. I can really mess it up good. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Now, that's something that lots of people need to listen to. I wish I could remember what it was or even where it came from. Did somebody show me last week a picture of a mother holding a sign up saying something about her son robbing a store in Chicago and she had to worry about him getting killed? Who was that? Who showed that to me? There was an article, a picture, that said mothers in Chicago should not have to be concerned about whether their sons are going to come home dead because they robbed a convenience store in Chicago. Something like that. And I thought, when I saw that picture, and I thought, you idiot, the way to have your son not get killed at robbing a convenience store is to tell him to not steal. It's crazy what's going on in the world today. I don't even remember who showed me that sign, but somebody showed me that. It was somewhere. I don't remember where I saw that, but I thought, when I saw that, I thought, what stupidity. You know, do you have to worry about getting killed robbing a convenience store if you don't rob it?
No,
that's right. You don't have to worry about nothing. But if you're in there robbing that convenience store, and if it's my convenience store and I got a gun, guess what? You're going to get killed because I'm probably going to be a man of the world. And if I got a gun and you come in to rob my store, I'm going to pull that gun out and shoot you. You know, we've lost our mind in America. Wow. Then he says, don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. That's good advice for anybody, right? Turn away from evil. But look what the result is. Then you will have healing for your body. When you turn away from evil, you'll have healing for your body. When people say, Thurman, sin and sickness are not directly related, what do you call that? What does that say? Turn away from evil and what happens? You get healed. I mean, how hard is that to understand? Do you want to be healed? Why do you think we tell people, repent of your sin before you come for prayer for healing? Because right there in the Proverbs, turn away from evil, then you will have healing for your body. In other words, if you're sinning, if you're living with somebody out of wedlock, you know, you're doing what things you ain't supposed to, you're lying, stealing, cheating, you're doing whatever, and you don't confess that as sin, it's useless to pray for you because you're not going to get healed. You have not turned away from your evil. And if you're not willing to give up your evil, this scripture we just read right here in Proverbs verse 7 says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil, then it says clearly, then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones. Is that something? So if you're going to pray for people to get healed, what's the first thing you need to get them to do? Repent of sin. They need to turn away from sin. What if they say, well, I don't have no place to live and I'm living with my boyfriend and so I don't have no place to go, so I can't do that. Well, then all you need to do is tell them, well, I'm sorry, I can't pray for you. I'm sorry. You know, and every once in a while, you know, in fact, I got one last night, wee hours this morning. Some lady contacted us and she wanted us to pray. And Cheryl, we wrote back and told her, well, first thing you need to do is repent of sin and everything. And so then we can pray for you for healing. She was very upset. She said, I can't believe you sent me a prayer of condemnation. You know, I mean, hey, if I don't tell you that you need to get rid of sin, what's going to happen? Nothing. If you don't get rid of your sin, it don't do no good to pray for you because guess who's not the healer? Me, that's right. I am not the healer. All I do is know what the scripture says, or some of it anyway, and I'll just tell you that if you'll turn away from evil, then when you're prayed for, you'll be healed. At least let's put it this way. Your chances for healing is lots better after you repent of your sin, of evil. You understand that? You see where I get it? Verse 9 and 10, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Oh, there's that kind of borderlines on that tithing thing Dave's talking about, don't it? Honor the Lord with your wealth. Okay, Lord, I made $1,000 last week, so I'm going to give you $5. I'm really going to be, you know, wow. I don't think that pleases him. I really don't think that pleases him. If I make $1,000... He says, honor the Lord with your wealth. I don't think $5 out of $1,000 honors nobody. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. The best part. Not just some parts, every part. If you'll do all that, if you'll bless him, honor him, and give jointly, abundantly into his kingdom, his ministry, he said, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Wow. So I don't know about you, but I like full barns and I like full vats of wine, so I'm going to give more than $5 when it's my time to give. You see what I mean? In fact, we'll come back right back here in just a minute, verse 10. But I want us to look at Luke 6:38. Turn over to Luke 6:38 and look and see what that says when we're talking about giving. This one's very clear in Luke 6:38. It says, give and you will receive your gift. Your gift will return to you in what? What if I don't give very much? He says, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Now, I used to live on a farm, and I baled hay and sacked oats and everything else. And I remember that little old combine when we'd run that feeder in that sack, and I'd get it down there and get it nearly where it's full. I'd grab hold of the ears of that sack. I'd jerk that sack up, down, and I'd bound it on the floor. And it would go down probably half, and then I'd fill it up again. I'd much rather have a sack of oats that I paid for that somebody knew how to shake it down than somebody that didn't know how to shake it down. Because he said, your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So what if I, like Dave said, what if I don't tithe? Does God hate me? No, he don't hate me. But he just don't bless me like he will if I do tithe. So if I give abundantly into his kingdom, what's he going to do? He says, right there, he says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. I don't know about you, but I'd much rather give him, let's just get wild with this. I'd much rather give God $10,000. I'd much rather give him $10,000 and get $100,000 back than to give him 50 and get 5. Isn't that something? It's amazing. I'm telling you that, you know, in the last few months, I have given through this ministry some serious money to some organizations. Serious money. And you know why I done that? You know why I did it? Because God tells me to give to him. And he makes me a promise. And he says, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Just think. Last week, I have a little red Mooney airplane sitting down here in the hangar that I haven't flown in a couple, 2 or 3 years. I said, Lord, I don't need that airplane. I need to sell it. I need you to send me the right buyer for that airplane. And the next morning, my phone rang, and I didn't know who the guy was until he told me who he was. When he said, I said, I haven't seen you in 100 years. He said, well, it hadn't been quite that long. He said, I'm 71 years old. So he said, it's probably been 40 years since I've seen you. But he said, I said, what do you need? He said, I'm looking for a Mooney airplane. I said, I just happen to have one. He said, I want to come look at it right now. I said, come on. He came out here and we went down to the hangar and he looked at the airplane. He said, where's the logbooks? And I told him up here in the office, and we come got the logbooks. We went in the shop and he sat there for 30 minutes, looked over the logbooks. He said, I'll give you this much money for it. I want it right now. I said, it's your airplane. And he wrote me a check. You see what I mean? Just think. What kind of dominion and authority do we have with this mouth? Lord, I need you to send me somebody to buy the airplane. Why do you think we prayed the prayer for Ronnie a house? We spoke that by faith and guaranteed God will give Ronnie a house. He'll get a house because he's a son of God. He's a joint heir with the king. And he's already sold his other house and he needs a place. So when we come to God and ask him to give Ronnie and his wife a house, he'll give them a house. Wow. Isn't that something? Let's go back to Proverbs 3:10. If you'll honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of your everything you produce, then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine. Do you have your vats and barns full?
Yes.
I do too. Praise the Lord. Next verse. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves. just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. The other day, Dave and I was talking about something. He was going through a little something. And he said, well, Thurman, at least I know God still loves me. He's disciplining me. Well, let me tell you, do we all go through those kind of things? Yes, we do. So instead of fussing about your discipline, praise him and thank him for your discipline, and you'll get through it a lot quicker. And you'll come out on the other side blessed. Verse 13 and 14. Joyful is the person who finds wisdom. The one who gains understanding is profitable. For wisdom is more profitable than silver, and her wages are better than gold. Wisdom. How do we get wisdom? We ask for it. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. But when you ask, you got to believe with no doubt in your heart. Verse 15 and 16. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. She offers you what? Wisdom offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. So if you pray and seek God for wisdom, not only are you going to have a long, and how many people do you know that desire a long, healthy life? That's all of us, right? Everybody wants a long, healthy life. How do we get it? Ask God for wisdom. When we ask God for wisdom and thank him for giving it to us, wisdom is more precious than rubies. Nothing you can compare with her. She offers you long life in her right hand and riches and honor in her left hand. Can you beat that?
No.
Now, people go to school. They get educations. They do everything trying to get to where they can make money and be prosperous and successful. And some men and women, not as many women as men, but men will strive, they will work, they'll do everything they can to get an education. They'll spend money, they'll save money, they'll do everything they can to get educated, become whatever, so they can be big and prosperous and successful. And then by the time they get to be 50, maybe they've made $1 million and they've got it, they're on the way now, and then all of a sudden God strikes you with something and you come down with sickness and you die at 52 or 3. And somebody else enjoyed the benefits of your labors. That happens all the time. All the time. You got to learn to put God first. Wow. Next two verses. She will guide you down delightful paths. All her ways are satisfying. Wisdom is a tree of life. Now, where did we hear about this? What did he just say? Wisdom is a what?
Tree of life.
Is that the tree that God told us to eat from? He told us to eat from the tree of life, right? Not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But we eat out of that other one. We go to the slop bucket and eat out of the slop of the world. When God told us to eat out of the tree of life. Wisdom that we get from God is a tree of life to those who embrace her. If you embrace her, you got to embrace her. Happy are those who hold her tightly. Wisdom, it's a wonderful thing. Next two verses. By wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. By understanding, he created the heavens. By his knowledge, the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settles beneath the night sky. Next two. My child, don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh you, your soul. They're like jewels on a necklace. It's amazing. Just a little jewel. I bought Cheryl a little cross to go with one little diamond on it, on her necklace. And it's amazing what she thinks about that. She likes it. She came up to me the other day and said, honey, thank you. I really do love my little cross with my diamond. I thought, wow, just a little piece of rock. All it took to make my wife happy, a little rock. Well, next two verses. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. Now, if I do all those things and got wisdom, they'll keep me safe on the way, and your feet will not stumble? Wait a minute. I had an experience with that last night. Last night, after the healing school, I'd been teaching the Word of God all afternoon long, prayed for people till 9 o'clock or whatever it was, and I started to the bedroom. And I go up to the Ministry Center hallway, and I turn left to head out to the where the, our bedroom's at. And somebody had spilled some butter on the side on the walk, liquid butter. And I couldn't see it. It's on a gray and white hard surface tile. You know how slick butter is on tile? When I went around the corner, I stepped in that stuff, and guess where my feet went? My feet went straight out in front of me. Here I am, 6'2", standing straight up, and my feet are going every direction. I fall sideways, and my left shoulder slams into the hallway hall. My right foot goes over and hits against the baseboard, and I throw the box I have in my hand, and I come down, hit the ground, and I hit right on my backside, and when I hit the floor, falling flat up, should it have hurt my hip? But did you know after I was laying there for a second and pushed myself back up and stood up, I said, thank you, Lord. Did you know I didn't even have a pain in my hip? I didn't have a pain in my shoulder. I didn't have a pain in my right foot, not nothing. But I didn't even fall in the butter with my slacks. I didn't even get them dirty. I slid over the top of it and hit the floor. Now, what did God say here? What did she say? This wisdom will keep you safe on your way and your feet will not stumble. In other words, if you walk with me and you obey me and you do what I say, I promise you, I will take care of you. You will have a long, healthy life with no problems. I'll take care of them. Friday in the bank, a man that I prayed for years ago that had a broken wrist, and we saw God instantly heal his broken wrist. That man's still alive and well today, right here in Justin. He was in the bank when I was in the bank Friday. He said, I got to talk to you. I said, okay. So as soon as I got through my stuff, I went over there to the table where he was, and he says, I got to tell you what happened. He said, I was building a barn, 13 feet up in the air. And he said, I'm welding all these things on, and said, I'm putting screws in, and said, I get all the screws in, and then I come down, I take the strap off the ladder and everything so it don't slide on the metal. And I come down on the ground and I look up there and thought, oh goodness, right there, I should have put three more screws right there. So he said, I get up on the ladder and climb up to the top of the barn, crawl over on the side of the barn, leaning way over to put those screws in, and the ladder slips out from under me. And he said, I fall 13 feet, hit right on my back, and there's a steel pipe laying there, and the pipe hits me right in the neck. He said, it hurt so bad I couldn't do anything. Couldn't even breathe. He said, I'm just laying there. He said, I looked up and I said, Lord, I've got to have some help. I'm your son. Is that a good way to start out?
Yeah.
You know what so many men do?
Start cussing.
Yeah, they start cussing. Lord, I'm your son. I got to have some help. I know you're going to help me. So, Lord, I'm going to lay here. I can't move my arm. My leg don't work. But I know that you know what's wrong with me, and I know you're going to fix me. So he said, Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to praise you and thank you for fixing my body. I ain't calling nobody. I've got a cell phone right here, but I ain't calling nobody but you. And I'm depending on you to take care of me, body. He said, I lay there about, I forget, 20 or 30 minutes praising and worshiping the Lord. And all of a sudden, his arm started working again. He said, then my leg started working again. Then he said, I got up and walked off. And he said, I was completely well and don't have nothing, no problems, no sore, no nothing. He said, a man that I know the other day fell off of a barn at 9 foot like that, and it killed him. He fell, but he didn't know what this man knows. All these promises revolve around you and me as children of God that know his word and claim his promises. When he's laying there, he said, Lord, I got to have some help. And I know you can do anything. And he just lay there and trusted God with no fear, no nothing. And God showed up. And he's completely well. Is that awesome?
Yeah.
Of course, he wanted to tell me about it, you know, because it was wonderful. He said, I was telling somebody the other day about when you prayed for my hand when it was broken years ago. And he said, I told him, I said, this man came over, laid hands on me and prayed for me. Jesus healed me. And they said, no, that don't happen no more. Jesus, you know, Jesus don't do those kind of things no more. He said, oh, yes, he does. He said, he did it for me. They said, no, just a coincidence. He said, let me tell you what, when you got a broken wrist and you went to the doctor and it's confirmed, it's broken and shattered. And when Thurman Scrivener, in the name of Jesus Christ, laid hands on me and my hand was instantly healed and I was roping cows the next day, he said, let me tell you, that was no coincidence. You got to believe, right? You got to believe. They will keep you safe on your way and your feet will not stumble. If you do stumble, he'll catch you. Just like he did me. I just stood in awe that after I fell that far to that concrete floor and got up and there was not one single mark on my body, not a bruise, but yet I hit the wall with my left shoulder, bam, and slid into the right wall. I made all kinds of noise. You know, Cheryl and everybody else started, are you all right? Something wrong out there? They all got to come out to see what was wrong with me. And of course, there I was, you know, so praise the Lord. Standing up, everything was great. So they cleaned up the butter and everything's okay after that. So, oh yeah, I got Cheryl. Cheryl, my hair was so messed up. She said, your hair is every direction. My hair didn't survive quite as good as the rest of me did. But I can comb my hair again, so it's no problem. But she said my hair was really messed up. Oh, because I guess I fell so fast and so hard, my hair just went flying, you know. So at least it's still up there. It didn't come off. He said, you can go to bed without fear. You will lie down and sleep soundly. Just think. When I left there last night and I went and done what I done, then I went to the bedroom and pulled the cover back and crawled into those sheets and everything, I slept like a log last night. Wow. Is God awesome?
Yes.
Is his word true?
Yes.
Yes, it's true. All right, let's go to the next couple of verses. You need not be afraid of sudden disaster or the destruction that comes upon the wicked. Now, if I'd have been wicked, if I'd not been a son of God, and I'd have been some wicked guy when I fell up there, guess what might have happened to me? It could have broken my hip. You know, it could have broke my leg. It could have broke my shoulder. It could have killed me. Wow. For the Lord is your security. He will keep your foot from being caught in a trap. Isn't it amazing what this says? Let's go to the next two verses. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. If you can help your neighbor now, don't say, come back tomorrow and I'll help you tomorrow. If somebody has a need to help them, help them. Next verse. Don't plot harm against your neighbor, for those who live nearby trust you. Don't pick a fight without a reason when there's no one has done you harm. You know, we need to be good people. Christians need to be good people. Next verse. Don't envy violent people or copy their ways. Such wicked people are detestable to the Lord, but he offers his friendship to the godly. Do you want to be a friend of God? Ooh, if there's anybody I want to be my friend, it's God. But let me tell you this, if God is your friend, most other people will be your friend too. Because if God is your friend, you'll treat him with integrity and loving kindness, and everybody loves to be treated like that. So you won't have any problem making friends. If God is your friend, you're doing things his way, everybody will be your friend. People will love you. Next verse. Look at this carefully. The Lord curses the house of the wicked. Just think. When we go back and we look, whenever Matthew 18:21, when Jesus called the servant in and called him a wicked servant because he didn't forgive his brother. That puts you in a class of wickedness. It says, the Lord curses the house of the wicked. Now, why do you think so many things happen to so many people? They're living in a house that's cursed. Do you want to live in a house that's cursed? No, not me either. The Lord curses the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the upright. Now, is that where you want to live?
Yes.
That's where I want to live. The Lord mocks the mockers, but is gracious to the humble. One more verse, 35. The wise inherit honor, but fools are put to shame. Wow. Father, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you for these promises of the book of Proverbs. We thank you as you give us all 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and it's just loaded with good information for us, your children. Father, as we read your word, give us that wisdom we need that you tell us to seek for. And that understanding, Lord, we ask and we desire that understanding so we can walk in obedience to your word. We can be the men and women that you want us to be, the boys and girls you want us to be, so that we can be men and women of integrity, so that we will be your friends, so you can bless us and use us mightily. And Lord, we're going to believe that as we walk holy before you, you're going to anoint us with a greater anointing on a regular basis in this church, that we're going to be blessed with a special anointing so we can pray for people, where we can stand our ground. And like this precious little girl that stood her ground last night for you, Lord, and you blessed her. And Lord, thank you for that testimony she had today. And Lord, use us all like that to be great and awesome men and women of God, that Lord, that learn who we are and that we can do great things for your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for your word, and we thank you for the promises. We thank you that all these promises are yes and amen. They all belong to us, every one of us as your children. Help us to walk with integrity so they'll work for us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the blessings. And as we go this week, we thank you for giving Ronnie a new house. We thank you, Lord, for blessing him and his wife with a new house, and everything will be perfect. And we thank you, Lord, for blessing us all with healing and prosperity and good things this week. And then bring us back to church with more testimonies next Sunday as we worship and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.